السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Tonight is the last night of our talk, and I thought it is best if we talk a little while about Zainab Salamullah Alayha, whose forbearance, tolerance and brave character is really amazing, while being a woman and going through all those hardships, how she confronted people of power and brutality. And what we heard about her kind of attitude in Ashura, and afterwards her sermons in Kufa and in Damascus, is something which really surprises everyone who is familiar with these kinds of confrontations in the history. Now, the first thing about her is that she was a reporter of hadith. We have in many books, that's, for example, Tabrasi mentions that she has reported many akhbar and reports from her mother Zahra Salamullah Alayha. And one of these is the sermon mentioned by her mother, addressed to people of Medina by her mother, about Fadak in the mosque, which is a very long sermon. And Ibn Abbas reports this sermon from Zainab Salamullah Alayha. Now, the amazing thing is that when Fatima al-Zahra passed away, Zainab was still a child, and probably not more than 6-7 years old, and memorizing all those things told by Fatima al-Zahra in the mosque and then reporting it to Ibn Abbas shows how literate and how sharp in memory she was. And of course, Ibn Abbas, all of you know that his station among the reporters and his dignity, as he was called, Hibrul Ummah, the sage, the most knowledgeable of the Ummah, reporting from a little child as Zainab Salamullah Alayha. Of course, he reported this later on when Zainab had grown up, but she had heard and had memorized the whole report while she was a child, and this shows the great station she had in the eyes of people like Ibn Abbas. It is reported that she was reporting hadith from her mother, from her father, from her brothers, and from Umm Salama and Umm Hani and other women, and people like Ibn Abbas, Ali ibn al-Husayn, and Abdullah ibn Ja'far, her husband, has reported hadith from her. One of the ahadith reported from Zainab, and this is mentioned in Balaghatun Nisa, the most eloquent addresses of women in the history of Islam. One of her sayings was, "Man arada an la yakuna al-khalq shufa'ahu ila Allah falyahmidah. Alam tasma ila qawlihim sami'a Allahu liman hamidah." It's a little bit complicated kind of expression, but very eloquent. She said, "Whoever wants to have no intercessor between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, It means that when they talk to Allah, Allah accepts from them without any intercession. They should praise Allah. فَلْيَحْمِدَهْ. Of course, the true praising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then she says, haven't you heard this? What we, of course, repeat in our prayers, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهْ. May God listen to those who praise Him. And God would listen to those who praise Him, of course. And then if He listens to those who praise Him, then there would be no need for any intercession of anyone to intercede so that the dua is accepted. This is a very nice expression reported from Zainab Salamullah alayha. It is also reported that when she had migrated with her father to Kufa, of course Ali ibn Abi Talib stayed for 5 years in Kufa. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And of course all his children, including Zainab Salamullah alayha, migrated with him. And while in Kufa, he had sessions of tafsir of Quran for women in Kufa. And in one of these sessions, this is what is reported, in one of these sessions, she was interpreting the opening verse of Surah Maryam, Kaf, Haya, Ain, Saad. And Amirul Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam, after hearing this, he told her, Ya Nura Aini, sami'tuki tufassirina Kaf, Haya, Ain, Saad. I've heard that you are interpreting the verse Kaf, Haya, Ain, Saad. And she said, yes, I'm doing that for women. And he said, هَذَا رَمْزٌ لِمُصِيبَةٍ تُصِيبُكُمْ إِتْرَةَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ شَرَحَ لَهَا الْمَصَائِبِ فَبَكَتْ بُكَاءً عَالِيًا. And Amir al-Mu'mineen says, this is a symbolic expression of a misfortune, of a musibah, which would strike you, the holy family of the Prophet. And then he explained the meaning behind those symbols, and Zainab started to cry very loudly. And this is another thing reported. Well, I just by going through these things, just want to say that before all these things happened, Zainab was a woman of knowledge, a woman to whom other women in Kufa and of course certainly in Medina turned for knowledge, to report things from her, to learn interpretation of the Quran from her. And well, of course it is not possible for a woman to come out all of a sudden to Kufa and then recite and address people with such an eloquent sermon, which is very rare in the history. And of course after being struck by all those calamities and misfortunes, I think about any woman we have a mention in Ahlul Bayt, like Fatima al-Zahra, like Zainab, like Sakina, like others. All of these were women of knowledge, of eloquence. And this shows that how the Holy Family treated their women inside the family itself. How they educated their women. This is very important. Sometimes I think, well, in those times it was not very customary, not fashionable for women to have such eloquence, such knowledge of Quran, of Hadith and other things. But in the Holy Family, especially in the household of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and of course in many other families, we come across women of such high status in knowledge and in eloquence. And this shows, although the trend in those societies were to somehow stop women, bar them from learning, from teaching and other things, but the habit and the method of A'imma alayhim salam was totally different to all of that. And this would of course tell us many things about the status of woman. in the eyes of A'imma alayhim as-salam, which is of course very different from what we hear today from people like feminists and others who are trying to promote things which do not deserve for women. This is very, very important, and inshallah we may discuss this in some other sessions, the status of women in Islam, how Islam defends that status, promotes that status, and how this is different from some promotions which are given to women these days, of course, which does not deserve, is not deserving and not suitable for them as a religious personality. Saduq alayhi rahmah says that kanat Zainab salamullah alayha laha niyabatun khassah an al-Husayn alayhi salam wa kana an-nas yarji'una ilayha fil halal wal haram hatta bara Zainul Abidin min marafih. This is very surprising. He says Zainab salamullah alayha had a special deputyship from Husayn ibn Ali to guide people. And people were coming to her asking about halal and haram until Zainul Abidin alayhi salam was cured of his disease. And this took quite a long time. And if she could actually bear such a responsibility for a limited period of time, it means that she could bear it for a longer time. Of course, then afterwards, Zainul Abidin alayhi salam was there and there was no need for her to shoulder such a responsibility. But she was great in this respect as well. Many anecdotes about her worship, her asceticism, and other qualities are mentioned in the history. One of them is reported by Fatima bint al-Husayn alayha salam, who was as well present in Karbala. She says, أما عمتي زينب فإنها لم تزل قائمة تلك الليلة. She meant ليلة عاشوراء. في محرابها تستغيث ربها فما هدأت لنا عين ولا سكنت لنا رنة. My auntie Zainab, she was awake throughout the night. On the 10th night of Muharram, she was seeking help from God in praying and making dua. So no eye from us on that night was put into sleep, and no moaning was put into silence. Everyone was actually crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that night. And especially it is reported from Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, إن عمتي زينب مع تلك المصائب والمحن النازلة بها في طريقنا إلى الشام ما تركت تهجدها ليلة. This is amazing. My auntie Zainab, amidst all those misfortunes and calamities that came to us in our way throughout from Karbala to Kufa and to Sham, she did not miss one tahajjud, one salatul layl, all through these journeys that we have towards Sham. You know, well, of course, usually people in journey, in traveling, I mean, we feel that we cannot do things that we do at home. If we are at home, of course, it's easy, we have a orderly kind of program, organized program, but in traveling, of course, everything goes in mess. But he says, even in that traveling, and not in that terrible travel, I mean, in the travel after those hardships and all those enemies driving them in a harsh way, she did not leave her tahajjud, she did not miss her tahajjud even for a night. So this was the kind of personality that could bear that responsibility entrusted to her by Husayn alayhi salam. So it is, I mean, having this personality in mind, it is of course not very surprising that she could stand so firmly in front of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad and so firmly in front of Yazid ibn Muawiyah, especially, I mean, her sermon in front of Yazid, that now that misfortune has made me to come across you and to address you. This is what, inshallah, we go through the khutbah. Unfortunately, I couldn't find the translation of the khutbah, so I have to try to translate myself, inshallah, with the help of the shaykh. And now that misfortunes have made me to come across you and to address you, but you have to know that you are so humiliated in my eyes. This is what he tells to Yazid in his palace. I mean, this shows that she is not living in this world. She is living high above all people of this world. And I want to rebuke you greatly. And she continues, inshallah, if time lets us, we will go through that. Now, just a little, a quick look at how the captives were treated from Kufa to Damascus. Well, of course, after the captives were brought to Kufa, they were kept there until Ubaydullah sent a messenger to Yazid from Kufa to Damascus, which is quite a long way, long distance, and asked him, "What should I do?" He mentioned the situation that we were victorious over Hussein ibn Ali, and we have his family captive here, and the heads are with us. What should we do with them? And well, the messengers going to Damascus, coming back, it takes at least 20 days if we had those quick messengers going on quick camels. So for about 20 days, more than that even, they were kept in Kufa until the messengers came back. And then the message from Yazid was that you have to send all the heads and the captives to me. Well, of course, it was unusual for a caliph like the chief caliph of all Muslim lands to ask for such a little number of captives to be sent to him. Especially, he knew that he was not going to take them as slaves. He was not able to do that because they were family of the Prophet. But what was behind this, probably he wanted to show his power, his crushing power, that anyone trying to resist him, he would crush them, even if they are the family of the Prophet. That's why he wanted these women folk to go to Damascus. Otherwise, there was no point for these people, for these women, to go to Damascus. So he asked for the captives to be sent to Damascus. And from Kufa to Damascus, there were many, of course, cities, many villages, which the captives were to be shown to people throughout all those villages and cities on the way, just to show the force and the victorious, so to speak, attitude of the caliphate to people. That's why they say it took a very long time for the captives to go from Kufa to Sham, because they didn't go on a direct path. They went to far away villages and cities so that everywhere could see that the family of the Prophet were captives. The heads were, of course, going in front of them. And this was the most terrible kind of situation that the family of the Prophet could go through. I mean, the heads all the time in front of them. And in every city they camped one day outside the city so that the city was prepared to have all those decorations and ceremonies and everything. And with quite official ceremony, the captives were taken into different cities and they were gathered in the central district of the city in a garden or in a circle or anything, and people were coming from everywhere to see. And this is what actually really annoyed Zainab and the household of the Prophet, that people came to see their faces and to see these captives and the heads. And of course, some cities, they did not accept them. They started to fight against those small soldiers who were accompanying the captive, not letting them in as soon as they came to know that these are family of the Prophet. But anyway, it didn't reduce any of those hardships that the family of the Prophet were going through it. Now, if you go from Lebanon, to Damascus, to Syria, the route between Kufa and Damascus, you would see many places called Maqam Ra'as al-Husayn, the position of head of Hussein alayhi salam. And it's in many cities. I have seen one of them in Ba'lebak, which is turned into a mosque now, a big mosque, of course, and very respected at this time. But these are the places where the caravan went through, and they put Rasul Hussein alayhi salam on those places for people to come and see. And after they went, of course, these places were remembered, and afterwards, of course, people came and made a kind of sanctuary, a kind of shrine in those places, and gradually it became Maqam Ra's al-Hussein. That's why you find lots of these maqamat on the route from Kufa to Damascus. And whenever you come across one of these, I mean, one could not really stop crying just imagining what the family, holy family of the Prophet, was going through. These heads everywhere brought out of those boxes and put on display, and again put into the boxes, taken away, and the family going with them. Really intolerable. But of course, this was what the misfortune of the Ummah had brought for the holy family of the Prophet, to be dealt in this way. Now, when they went to Damascus, they camped outside Damascus for 3 days, so that, I mean, people knowing that the victorious army is coming, the captives are coming, get ready, decorate the city, and people, the ministers, the wazirs, the heads of Jews, Christians, Zoroastrians, everyone go to receive the army, and of course have a jubilation there, just to show they rejoice to the captives and to the army, and come back telling Yazid that yes, we all are rejoicing of what has happened. And this was of course again very very annoying to Zainab salamullah alayha, to Zainab al-Abidin, and with all those drums beating and all these things, just imagine how these women were brought inside the city, and people came to see them, that these captives are coming in. And it is mentioned that Zainab, it was not her habit to ask anything from Shemr, because it was Shemr who was driving them. And this was another calamity, that Shemr, who was the murderer of Hussein ibn Ali, was in charge of taking them to Damascus. She went to her and said, I have a request to you. Please take us from one of the gates, because the cities had different gates, of course, and Damascus had many different gates. Take us from a gate which not much crowd would be there, so that not so many people would come and watch us. And Shemr, upon hearing this, chose the gate which was the most crowded, to take these women and children from that gate, which was called Bab al-Sa'at. He took the family of the Prophet from that gate. Now, Sahl ibn Sa'ad al-Sa'idi, which we had a mention of him previously, one of the companions of the prophets from Ansar. Apparently he was unaware of what had happened. And because he had gone to visit Baitul Maqdas, Jerusalem, and he was out of Medina, out of cities to hear about what had happened. So he said, I had gone to visit Baitul Maqdas, and from Medina coming out to go to Baitul Maqdas, of course, took a long time, and in between Damascus is in between, of course, where, from which route he went, we don't know, but he said, I passed from Damascus. And I saw, when I went into Damascus, I saw, of course, the city was quite green, lots of trees in that city, but I saw lots of flags and standards and decorations and lights in the city, and people were all happy, drums were beating and all these things. And I thought with myself, is there an Eid for people of Sham that we are unaware of? What kind of Eid is this? Because this is not Eid al-Adha or Eid al-Fitr or anything. So he said, I went to some people who were talking to each other. I asked them, is there an Eid in Sham of which we are unaware of? They said, are you not from people of this area? I said, no, I'm a stranger. They said, are you a stranger? I said, أَنَا سَحْلُ بْنُ سَعْدُ قَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَعَلَيْهُ. I said, I am سَحْلُ بْنُ سَعْدُ, I have seen the Prophet, meaning I am a companion of the Prophet. And they started ridiculing him, saying that, Ya Sahl, why the sky is not raining blood and the earth is not swallowing is people, because you were telling us from the Prophet that if anything happens to his family, the sky would rain blood and the earth would swallow the people. I said, why are you saying this? They said, because this is the head of Hussein and coming from Iraq, and people are very happy about it. I asked them from which gate they are entering, and they told me from Bab al-Sa'at. He said, I just rushed to Bab al-Sa'at, and of course he was quite an old man, and I saw lots of standards coming in one after another. Well, you could picture how this victorious army was coming in, because this is very, very important location for Yazid. Quite important, because he had crushed his most dangerous enemy. So I saw standards coming one after the other, and then I saw someone mounting a horse, and he had a spear in his hand, at the top of which I saw a head which was very similar to the Prophet, peace be upon him. Of course he had seen the Prophet, peace be upon him. And I rushed to one of those ladies who were coming after that head, and I asked her, who are you? She told, I am Sakina bintul Hussein. And I told her, Alaka Haja, do you want anything? Can I do anything for you? And I am, of course, they were not going to tell anyone that they needed something or what. But I told her, أَنَا سَحْلْ صَاحِبُ جَدَّكَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, I am a companion of your grandfather, سَحْلْ. She just told me, would you tell these people take these heads further ahead so that people look at them and not look at us? And he says, I rushed towards the one who was carrying the head of Hussein alayhi salam. I gave him 400 dirham. And I told him, please go ahead, move further and have distance from the women. And he did. So this is one story we have from where, how they entered in Sham. Another story which is mentioned here is the story of an old man who was from the people of Sham, of course, quite ignorant, unaware of what was going on, who was Hussein ibn Ali, who was the people who were fought against in Kufa. It is said that this, a very old man came near Zainul Abideen and shouted, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahlakakum wa amkana al-amira minkum. I praise God which destroyed you and gave power to Amir over you. Well, of course, Zainul Abideen understood that this is an ignorant man. He doesn't know anything. He told him, Ya Shaykh, أقرأت القرآن. Probably this was in a situation, not when they were riding, of course, because they were then camped in a place before being given the permission to go to Yazid, to the palace. So this Shaykh came to Zainul Abidin at that time and said, Ya Shaykh, أقرأت القرآن. Have you ever read the Qur'an? He said, yes, of course I have. Zainul Abidin alayhi salam said, أَقَرَأْتَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Have you ever come across this ayah that I do not want any reward from you but love of my kin's people? Have you ever recited, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ. Give the ذَا الْقُرْبَى, the relatives, your own relatives, their due. Have you ever recited, وَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمُسَهُ وَلِلْرَسُولِ وَلِذِ الْقُرْبَى. Whatever you gain, a fifth of it is for God, for the Prophet, and for the relatives of the Prophet. He said, yes, I have recited all these. قَدْ قَرَأْتُ ذَلِكَ. And the Imam said, نَحْنُ وَاللَّهَ الْقُرْبَى. We are those qurba. And we are the qurba. And then he said, يَا شَيْخَ أَقَرَأْتَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Have you ever recited the verse, God wants to take the impurity from you, Ahlul Bayt, and purify you with the highest of purities? We are these Ahlul Bayt, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have specified for Tathir. And the Shaykh asked some questions to make sure that these are those people, and at the end said, Billahi alaykum antum hum. Do you swear by God that you are these people? Said yes. Then the old man started to apologize and cry for what had happened to these people, and of course to what he had said to Zainul Abidin. Of course, these are just scattered anecdotes reported from here and there, and what went in this very dreadful journey, especially the arrival at Sham, has been much more heart-rending and heartbreaking than what we could ever gather from these kind of stories. Now, of course, in the session which Yazid actually received Ahlul Bayt, the captives, he was very rejoicing, he had become very arrogant now that he had killed Husayn ibn Ali. Unfortunately, we couldn't go through whole the political history of Husayn ibn Ali. We couldn't cover all of it. I wanted to go through a letter sent by Muawiyah to Imam Husayn alayhi salam, and an advice given by Yazid to him. We couldn't do that, unfortunately. But it shows that Yazid still, despite all the advice by his father, he didn't really know how he should have treated Ahlul Bayt, and especially Husayn ibn Ali. In that letter, of course, Marwan, who was the Amir of Medina, on behalf of Muawiyah, had sent him a letter that people of Iraq are coming and going to Hussein, and I fear that they are thinking about the plot. I'm sure that Hussein is not going to violate his treaty now, but he might want to do it in future. And he sent the letter to Muawiyah, And Muawiyah wrote to Marwan that, okay, you keep just watching and don't do anything, and wrote another letter to Imam Hussein alayhi salam that I've heard that people are going and coming to you, and you should not have anything in mind against me, and you should not violate the treaty and such things. And Hussein ibn Ali of course wrote a very harsh letter to him that who is violating the treaty? Is it me who is violating the treaty, or you who have killed Hujr ibn Adi? This Hujr ibn Adi was really a pure soul, and it is reported in many books of history that when Muawiyah was dying on his deathbed, he was all the time seeing Hujr ibn Adi, because he had killed him very innocently, just because he loved Ali ibn Abi Talib, and just because he had mentioned something about Ali ibn Abi Talib, mentioned something good, he killed Hujr ibn Adi. And on his deathbed, Muawiyah was just kept saying, Mali wal Hujr, Mali wal Hujr, what should I do with Hujr, or why did I do such a thing with Hujr? And probably Hujr was his tormentor on his deathbed. And of course, he killed many other people who were followers of Ali ibn Abi Talib, which was of course violation of the treaty. Very harsh letter. And then Muawiyah showed that letter to Yazid and asked him, what should we do with this man writing life, such things to us, telling these harsh words to us? Yazid said, yes, we have to go and go upon him, and we have to fight him, he's powerless. And Muawiyah just laughed at him and said, never try to approach Hussein in this way. This is not the right way to approach him, and just keep quiet about what he has written. This was the kind of advice that Muawiyah had given Yazid about Hussein ibn Ali. But of course, he was an ignorant person, and he did that against his own self, of course, against his own benefit. Now, when he entered, when the people entered to Yazid, the holy family, the captives, Zainul Abidin alayhi salam and others, all they were chained in chains going into the majlis, of course, with all those torn dresses and very shabby, very tired. And just people in the court of Yazid, when they saw this situation, the attitude of Ahlul Bayt, they started to cry. What is such a treatment? What is this treatment with the family of the Prophet? And Zainul Abidin told him, مَا ذَنُّكَ بِجَدِّنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ رَآنَا عَلَى مِثْلَ هَذِهِ الْحَالَةِ What do you think our grandfather Rasulullah would do or would say if he saw us in this situation? And Yazid was embarrassed, I mean, hearing this, and he ordered that the chains should be broken, should be taken, and everyone in that court meeting was crying. And then when Yazid saw that everyone is crying, he said, قَبَّحَ اللَّهُ بْنُ مَرْجَانَ لَوْ كَانَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُ قَرَابَ لَمَا فَعَلَ بِكُمْ هَذَا May God make the face of Ibn Ziyad ugly. If he was a relative of you, well, they had a very, of course, distanced relationship, kinship. If there was any relationship of of kinsmanship between you, he wouldn't have done such a thing to you. Saying that, well, I didn't order Ubaydullah to treat you like this, now that everyone was actually impressed by this whole scene. And then, just to give an excuse to what he had done, he said, إِيَّا عَلِيَ بْنَ الْحُسَيْنِ أَبُوكَ الَّذِي قَتَعَ رَحِمِي وَجَهَلَ حَقِّي وَنَازَعَنِي سُلْطَانِي فَسَنَعَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مَا رَعِي He said to Ali ibn al-Husayn, it was your father who cut the bonds of relationship between us, and he did not recognize my right, and he wanted to fight me over the authority, over my authority, and Allah did what you saw to him, meaning that this was a Sunullah. This was an act of God to him. And in this, I mean, this is the beginning of a group appearing in Islam called Murja'a, that whatever happens, it is the act of God, not act of the people. Even Yazid, if he did that kind of terrible thing, it was not his fault, it was Allah who did it. Now, Ali ibn al-Husayn said, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ لِكَيْ لَا تَعْصَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا أَتَاكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. We mentioned this verse last night about zuhd, pure zuhd. He said, whatever misfortune strikes you in the earth or strikes you in yourselves, it is in a book before we bring it about, and this is easy for Allah, so that you do not feel pity for what you lose and do not become very happy for what we give you. And God does not like every arrogant person. This was a verse, of course, with full of meaning. And Yazid, well, because he saw Husayn ibn Ali was very young, it was not up to him to answer him. He told his son Khalid, answer him. And, well, of course, Khalid, he didn't know anything of the Qur'an. So Yazid himself said, مَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Another verse of the Qur'an. Whatever misfortune comes to you is because of what you have done. And Zainul Abidin says, هَذَا فِي حَقِّ مَنْ ظَلَمْ لَا فِي حَقِّ مَنْ ظُلَمْ. This is about the oppressors, not those who are oppressed. And then stopped talking to Yazid anymore. Now, it was at this moment where Zainul Abidin did not talk to Yazid, did not continue to talk to Yazid, when Yazid started to address Zainab, Salamullah alayha. And of course, he was encountered by a harsh kind of sermon from Zainab, that I think he was so impressed that he couldn't do anything but saying that release these people. I mean, at the end he said, okay, let these people go. I think we don't have time to go through this khutbah of Zainab, Salamullah alayha. And inshallah, maybe, because if I want to rush going through it, I wouldn't have done justice to it. So I think I leave this for some other occasion, if possible. I don't know. Okay. So I continue with the khutbah. Alright. Now, what Yazid said, he started to recite some, of course, Yazid was a man of literature and eloquence, and usually when he wanted to speak, he spoke in poetry rather than in prose. So he started to read some poetry, which, well, of course, is reported in all books of history. They're, of course, very eloquent, but very vicious. He said, لَيْتَ أَشْيَاخِ بِبَدْرٍ شَهَدُوا جَزَعَ الْخَزْرَجَ مِنْ وَقْعِ الْأَسَلِ. I hope my elders in Badr, who were killed, of course, were a witness to this victory. That's how Khazraj, of course, the Ansar, now he is talking about the Ansar, are moaning from the attack of a lion. If they had witnessed, لَأَهَلُّ وَاسْتَهَلُّ فَرِحًا ثُمَّ قَالُوا يَا يَزِيدُ لَا تَشَلْ, they would have exclaimed out of rejoice, and they would have said, well done, Yazid, for what you have done. قَدْ قَتَلْنَا الْقَوْمَ مِنْ سَادَاتِهِمْ وَعَدَلْنَاهُ بِبَدْرٍ فَأْتَدَلْ. We have killed the most dignified of these people of Banu Hashim, and we have equaled the calamity we saw in Badr, and now we are leveled. Now, we had that infliction in Badr, most of my father's and uncles and all were killed. Now we have killed, we have given a response. لعبت هاشم بالملك فلا خبر جاء ولا وحي نزل. No revelation, no news have come from the heavens. It was just Banu Hashim playing with the authority, with the mulk rulership. لست من خندف لم أنتقم من بني أحمد ما كان فعل. I was not from خندف, a clan of Banu Umayyah. In Banu Umayyah, if I would have not taken revenge from the children of Ahmad, the children of the prophets, for what he did to us. So, of course, he wanted to mention this to Zainul Abidin, to Zainab, and to all those who were present there. So, this was the time where Zainab could not keep quiet. Of course, she didn't want to talk in that session. She didn't want to address Yazid. She thought Yazid was much smaller than someone to be addressed by her. But after Yazid reciting these verses, going through these poetry, she could not keep quiet. She said, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, started the khutbah with this. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ وَآلِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ حَيْثُ يَقُولُ ثُمَّ كَانَ عَاقِبَةَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا السُّوءَ أَنْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَكَانُوا بِهَا يَسْتَحْزِمُونَ. How true has spoken Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, saying, then the end of those who did vicious acts is to deny the signs of Allah and to ridicule them. Because he said, no revelation has come, it was just a playing with authority for Banu Ahmad. And Zainab says, how true is this verse? That's because you have done such a vicious act, and now you have ended up saying that no revelation has come down. This is very true. أَذَنَنْتَ يَا يَزِيدْ حَيْثُ أَخَذَتَ عَلَيْنَا أَقْطَارَ الْأَرْضِ وَآفَاقَ السَّمَاءِ فأصبحنا نصاغ كما تصاغ الأسارى أن بنا على الله هوانا وبك عليه كرامة. Do you think, Yazid, now that you have closed all the doors of the sky and the earth to us, it means you have put us in such a hard situation, and we have become such that we are being driven from city to city as captives. Do you think that this is because Allah has humiliated us and you have dignity with Him? وَبِكَ عَلَيْهِ كَرَامًا وَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ لَعِظَمِ خَتَرَةَ عَنْدَهُ. And do you think that this is because you have any importance in the eyes of Allah? فَشَمَخْتَ بِأَنْفِكَ حِينَ رَأَيْتَ الدُّنْيَا لَكَ مُسْتَوْسِقَ وَالْأُمُورَ مُتَّسِقَ. And you have grown so arrogant that you see that everything is in order for you and the world is now organized for you. And وَحِينَ سَفَى لَكَ مُلْكَنَا وَسُلْطَانَنَا. And now that our authority and our rulership, which Prophet had endowed it in us, is now purely with you, do you think that this is because God is giving you any dignity? فَمَحْلًا مَحْلًا. Slow down. لَا تَتِشْ جَحْلًا. Do not be ignorant. وَلَا قَوْلُ أَنَسِيتَ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Have you forgotten this verse? وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرًا لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. Have you forgotten this verse that Allah says, let those who have become kafirs do not think that whatever we give them in terms of time, if we give them time to continue with their vicious acts, that this is better for them. We just give them time to increase in their vicious acts and to end up in a grave azab. أمن العدل يا ابن الطلقاء تخديرك حرائرك ونساءك وسوقك بنات رسول الله سبايا. Is this justice? You, a child of, oh, the son of Tulaqa, because of course Tulaqa, you know which people they were. When the Prophet captured Mecca, those who had not entered Islam, but, well, because they saw that they had no other alternative, like Abu Sufyan, his wife, others, they entered Islam and they thought that they would be captives. But Prophet said, اذهبوا أنتم الطلقاء. Go, I have freed you. So these people were called Tulaqa, the freed, those who were freed by the Prophet on the day of conquest of Mecca. And of course he was one of the son of one of those people, son of Abu Sufyan and Muawiyah. So he says, is this justice, O you son of Tulaqa, putting your women folk from the freed women and slaves behind the veils, and driving the daughters of Rasulullah as captives, and showing their faces to every people in every city, and all people from the mean and dignified coming and seeing their faces. لَيْسَ مَعْهُنَّ مِنْ حُمَاتِهِنَّ حِمَنْ. No man of their own is accompanying them. وَلَا مِنْ رِجَالِهِنَّ وَلِي. And they have no guardian from their own men. وَكَيْفَ يُرْتَجَى مُرَاقَبَةُ مَنْ لَفِظَ فُوهُ أَكْبَادُ الْأَزْكِيَةِ. And of course, we do not expect you to care for us, because how could we expect someone who has chewed the liver of Azkiya, the pure people, because of course he was son of Hind who had chewed the liver of Hamza, وَنَبَتَ لَحْمُهُ مِنْ دُعَاءِ الشُّهَدَاءِ, and whose flesh has grown with the blood of Shuhada. How should we expect him to regard us? ثُمَّ تَقُولُ غَيْرَ مُتَعَصِّمٍ وَلَا مُسْتَعْذِمٍ. And then you say, without feeling that this is a sin, لَأَحِلُّ وَاسْتَحِلُّ فَرْحًا ثُمَّ قَالُوا يَا يَزِيدُ لَا تَشَلْ. And then you say, my grandfathers would have clamored in rejoice, and they would have told me that, well done Yazid, مُنْحَنِيًا عَلَى ثَنَايَا أَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ سَيِّدَ شَبَابِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. And while you are reciting this, you hit with your stick the teeth of Abu Abdullah, the Sayyid Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. وَكَيْفَ لَا تَقُولُ ذَلَكَ. And of course, you have to say such a thing. Why? You couldn't say that, وَقَدْ نَكَأْتَ الْقُرْحَ وَاسْتَأْسَلْتَ الشَّعْفَ بِإِرَاقَتِكَ دِمَاعَ ذُرِّيَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَنُجُومِ الْعَرْضِ مِنْ آلِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. Of course, you have uprooted the precious things from the children of Muhammad, peace be upon him. And then she says, اللَّهُمَّ خُذْ لَنَا بِحَقِّنَا. O God, you take our rights from them. وَانْتَقِمْ مِمَّنْ ظَلَمَنَا. And you revenge from whoever oppressed us. وَأَحْلِلْ غَضَبَكَ بِمَنْ سَفَكَ دِمَاءَنَا وَقَتَلَ حِمَاتَنَا. And you bring down your wrath over whoever spilled our blood and killed our guardians. And then she says, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا فَرِيْتَ إِلَّا جَلْدَكَ. I swear by God, you just tore your own skin, and you just chewed your own flesh, and you will enter to Rasulullah with the blood of his children, and with the indignity that you have brought to her women, to his women. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. And then she says about Abu Abdullah and others, do not think those who are killed in the way of Allah that they are dead, but they are alive and they are being provided by Allah. وَلَئِنْ, of course I'm just omitting some parts of the khutbah because it's long. وَلَئِنْ جَرَّتْ عَلَيَّ الدَّوَاهِي مُخَاطَبَتَكَ. If the misfortunes have put me in such a situation to address you, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَشْغَرُ قَدْرَكَ. you are so humiliated in my eyes. وَأَسْتَأْذِمُ تَقْرِيعَكَ وَأَسْتَكْثِرُ تَوْبِيخَكَ And I have to rebuke you so greatly. But I cannot do this. لَكِنَّ الْعُيُونَ عَبْرَى وَالصُّدُورَ حَرَّى Because our eyes are full of tears. And our hearts are full of sorrow. فَالْعَجَبْ كُلَّ الْعَجَبْ لقتل حزب الله النجباء بحزب الشيطان الطلقاء And it's so surprising that the party of the noble people from حزب الله are killed by the party of طلقاء from حزب الشيطان فهذه الأيدي تنضف من دماءنا والأفواه تتحلب من لحومنا And these hands that we are seeing here are full of our bloods And these mouths are eating from our flesh. وَتِلْكَ الْجُثَثُ التَّوَاهِرُ الزَّوَاكِ تَنْتَابُهَا الْأَوَاصِلُ And now we are here. But those pure corpses are in the deserts and are frequently visited by wolves and vultures. وَلَئِنِ اتَّخَذْتَنَا مَغْنَمًا لَتَجِدَنَّا وَشِيكًا مَغْرَمًا You think that now you are victorious, but soon you will see that you are defeated and we are an enemy for you. حِينَ لَا تَجِدُ إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاكَ The day where you would not find but what you have sent forward for yourself. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ And the Lord is not oppressing anyone. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمُشْتَكَى وَعَلَيْهِ الْمُعَوَّلِ And then at the end, she says, look how firm she is in her iman and faith. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ الَّذِي خَتَمَ الْأَوَّلَنَا بِالسَّعَادَةِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ We praise the Lord that finished our past fathers, أَوَّلَنَا, meaning the Prophet, finished his life with sa'ada and maghfirah. وَلِآخِرَنَا meaning Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam بِالشَّهَادَةِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ with martyrdom and his mercy وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهِ أَن يَكْمُلَ لَهُمُ الثَّوَابِ And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to complete for them their reward وَيُوجِبَ لَهُمُ الْمَزِيدِ إِنَّهُ رَحِيمٌ وَدُودٌ وَحَسْبُنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى الطَّاهِرِينَ Okay.
Shall we ask sisters if they want to start?
Are Muslims that are killed in everyday events, are they considered to be shaheed because they are murdered because they are Muslims? For example, a man was murdered in the petrol pump recently because he was a Muslim. It was a racial attack.
Well, usually Shaheed is someone who is killed in the battlefield. This is a kind of extension of the concept of Shahada, if you want to take it for people who are killed in different occasions. But if someone is purely killed for their faith, even if it is not in the battlefield, I think if we could extend this concept of Shahada. We had, for example, some of our ulama being killed because of their faiths, like, for example, Ash-Shahid al-Awwal wa Ash-Shahid al-Thani, the two of our great ulama, who were not killed in battlefield, but they were killed because they were found out to be Shias. And they are called shaheed by all ulama. So if someone is killed because of their faith, I think we could extend this concept to them. But for racial disputes and confrontations, I don't think we could call someone killed because of racial dispute as a shaheed. If it is a religious dispute and if they are killed because they have faith in God, yes, we could say that they are shaheed. Otherwise, it is very difficult.
brothers? Sorry, Ali Radha, you want? Feroz? Yeah, okay. Ali Radha and then Feroz. Yeah, Ali Radha, you start.
Can you please explain the true praise of Allah that you mentioned, you know, whilst mentioning Sami'Allahu liman hamida? I mean, what, in a concise way, what is true praising of Allah?
Well, the true praise of Allah is the salat that we do. But, of course, in what level of depth we perform it. This is not something to be explained, it is something to be experienced actually. And when Zainab Salamullah Alayha says that if someone praises Allah truly, they don't need any intercessor between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something probably experienced by herself. And the only thing is that that I can say is that we could not perform a salat truly and giving its due rights unless we are quite pure in other aspects of our lives. That is a very important aspect for performing a rightly and correctly done salat, and that would be the true praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a gradual process. We have to strive for purity of our soul. Ad aflaha man zakkaha, whoever purifies their soul is successful. And this success comes in all aspects in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is not something to be said that if you say this or if you do that, you are doing the right kind of praise of Allah. I mean, this salat is the salat that was performed by the Prophet himself, and it was the true praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was done, of course, by Yazid. And this Quran was recited by the Prophet, and as you saw, Yazid was very well versed in answering Imam Zain al-Abidin, saying that, مَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, in answer to the verse that he recited. So, you couldn't say that there is a word or there is sentence, an expression. It is just deep inside the heart.
We'll go back to the sisters and then Firoz. Sisters, any question from your side?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
When it was the first time that Ma'tam for Imam Hussein was observed, and how did the Imam used to observe the anniversary of this incident?
The Ma'tam, of course, well, the immediate aftermath of the incident in Medina was itself a Ma'tam. And if you have gone through the history, you would see that when the news of martyrdom of Imam Hussein reached Medina, people of Medina came out in mourning and beating themselves, and all kind of Ma'tams were actually upheld in Medina. And A'imma alayhim salam themselves had some sort of in-house matam for Hussein alayhi salam. Of course, later on the situation became so strict that they couldn't say anything about matam. I mean, at the time of say Mutawakkil, for example, who didn't let anyone talking anything about Imam Hussein or Karbala, and previously. I mean, this kind of sorrow for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I remember a hadith, one of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam went to him. Unfortunately, I don't recall the name of that companion now. But this hadith is in Kafi, and he said, we were talking about different things. I was asking questions, and Imam was thirsty. Then he asked for water, and some water was brought for him in a bowl. And when he drank the water, of course I wasn't seeing his face because the bowl was up. And when he brought down the bowl, I saw that his eyes was were full of tears. And I told him, what has happened to you? What did I say? Did I say something? He said, no, while I was drinking water, I remembered Hussein ibn Ali, and this sorrow never ends in our hearts of Hussein ibn Ali. So it was always remembered, and especially in Ashura, as I said, it was difficult to uphold it publicly because the government didn't allow it. But in-house kind of matams were upheld. You have heard the story of that poet going to Imam Reza alayhi salam. What was his name? Not Ibn Shabib. Komet, yes, Komet was going, and another poet who went to Imam Reza and reciting this poetry, مدارس آيات خلت من تلاوة ومنزل وحي مقفر العرصات, and Imam Reza crying so hard that he couldn't control himself. I mean, by hearing these verses about Matam of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, all these would show that there was this kind of understanding that holding matam for Imam Hussein is very, very important, and it was upheld at the time of A'imma. But of course, as I said, the shape, the form, the outward appearance of these matams were different according to culture to culture. And the beginning of specific forms of matam is something that would need more research and investigation to see what specific type of matam has appeared in which place, in what juncture of the history, and so on.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
I just wanted a little bit of clarification or from yesterday when you talked about the maktal. You recited that just in the tent of Imam Hussein, Bibi Zainab was there and she fainted when he mentioned those words that indicated that he was going to die. And then you said, and I maybe what I heard was incorrect, is that the Imam threw some water or something to revive her. Which seemed to be suggest that there was water, and I wasn't sure whether that is what you had said, because we were reading from the incident from Irshad, right?
Yes,
and I just wanted.
Yes, this is what is written in Irshad.
Yes, so it seems like
I disavow myself from any kind of allegation, but this is what is mentioned in Irshad.
That's what I thought, because you were reading it, and I thought maybe I didn't hear it properly, or maybe I didn't understand it. So I just wanted to know, the theme is like that is...
Yes, this is mentioned in Irshad, and the Arabic version is the same, that he actually throws some drops of water on her face. So it seemed that there was some water, and of course the water was brought by Ali Akbar, by Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam, and others who were breaking the lines of Ibn Ziyad's forces into the Euphrates, bringing water, and this was why at the last moment also Abbas probably thought that he could do it alone, and he went for water, and he couldn't do it alone, of course he couldn't come back.
The reason I say that is because I mean, we have been told that from the 7th there was no water, and the last 3 days there was not a single drop of water in the whole camp. I mean, in the recitations, this is what is portrayed, mm-hmm. at least from the 7th. But does that mean that maybe there was water all the way till the day of Ashura, except that it was very scarce?
Yeah, of course, very scarce. And we have in other maqtals that... Imam Hussein and others made ghusl, made wudu on the night of Ashura to prepare themselves for prayers and other things. So probably there was some water. But as you say, it was very scarce, and on the very day, in the morning, probably they were out of water completely and they couldn't bring any water for themselves. And in that situation, I mean, in a desert and fighting and all these things going on, I think every 1 hour, you need lots of water to be drank and for washing and other things. So it was very difficult. But this is what is written in many maktabs. So, I mean, you could choose between different versions. And yeah.
Asant.
وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله.
Yes. How did Yazid die?
Yazid died out of excessive drinking of alcohol 3 years after the incidents, in the year 63 or 64, I think. Yeah. Thank you. Yao Shen.